Hi everyone, my name is Andrea Lam, and I'm a program manager on the SQL Server team. Today I'm going to be talking to you about how to add continuous integration and continuous deployment for your database within your development workflow in Visual Studio 2017 using the SQL Server data tools. So in this session, we're going to cover exactly what SQL Server data tools, or SSDT, the tools are available within Visual Studio. And I'll tell you a little bit more about SQL Server 2017. And then we'll jump into a demo to kind of show you how to set up CI/CD for your database. And at the end, we'll cover some resources that are available to you for how to get started, and a few blogs and stuff that you guys can check out. So what is SSDT? SSDT is an additional add-on that you can add to your Visual Studio installation. It basically allows you to develop, build, test, and publish your database from a source-controlled project, just like you would with a development project. So for your application, when you develop within Visual Studio, you can build and test and publish your project. You can also do that now for your database using SSDT. It also allows you to easily import an existing database, and if you don't already have a database, it allows you to create a new database project, and you can use that to manage your database as well. You can also quickly design tables on the fly. You can add new tables, drop them as you need to. It also allows you to view and edit your data directly. So any of your, any of the data that's already in your database, you can edit it within Visual Studio. And one of the biggest use cases is for continuous integration and deployment. And we'll dive into that a little bit later with one of the demos. So if you don't already have SSDT in your Visual Studio installation, it's really easy to add. You just have to modify your Visual Studio 2017 installation, and you'll have to select the data storage and processing workload. Over on the right, you'll have to make sure that you're actually checking off the SSDT option. And if you don't, if you don't have an existing Visual Studio 2017 installation, just make sure that you're actually installing this workload with it. So SQL Server 2017 is one of the biggest releases that we've been working on over in the SQL Server team. Our engineering team is really excited about this new release. One of the biggest highlights of SQL Server 2017 is the ability to run anywhere. And that means that you're going to be able to build your applications on your platform of choice, whether it's Windows or Linux. And you know that also complements the ability to build your applications with your language of choice, whether that's Ruby, C#, C# obviously, and .NET. SQL Server 2017 also brings the ability to analyze complex relationships with the support of our graph objects and queries. And we've also baked in R and Python into the SQL Server engine to make it much easier and much more advanced for machine learning workloads. On top of that, this version of SQL Server is unparalleled in performance. We've got adaptive query processing built right in, so it's going to be much more performant and much faster. Like I mentioned, one of the biggest highlights of the SQL Server 2017 release is the ability to now run on Linux. And we're including support for both Red Hat Enterprise Linux, or RHEL for short, Ubuntu, and SUSE Enterprise Linux, or SLES. This is super exciting because this means that you're finally able to run production workloads on Linux. One of the cool things I think about SQL Server 2017 is you wanted to keep the entire installation process native to all of the Linux distributions. So we actually introduced package-based installation processes. So you get yum install on Red Hat, apt-get on Ubuntu, and zipper on SUSE. On top of that, as usual, we're always going to support Windows, whether that's Windows 10 or the newest Windows Server 2016. And with the introduction of Linux, we've also been able to introduce Docker support. So as many of you guys may already know, Docker is growing in popularity within the development community. One of the big things is, you know, you're able to actually spin up consistent development and test environments using Docker. And it also allows you to do operating system virtualization. So that means that your container running in Docker on your machine can be running in a different operating system completely from your actual development machine, which is pretty cool. And so for Docker support, we actually have a few official Microsoft SQL Server images available for Docker. So let me just head over to the Docker Hub real quick. As you can see here, I'm in Docker Hub. So if I just search MS SQL into Docker Hub, you'll see that the most popular SQL Server image is the Linux image. We also have the Windows image available, and we also have a SQL Server Windows Express image. And so this is really awesome because it now means that you can develop and test against any of these operating systems. Whether if I'm using like a Windows machine, I can actually deploy a SQL Server running on Linux within Docker and actually test that. So, you know, if I have a database running in production on Linux, I can now test and make sure everything looks good. All right, back to my slides real quick. And so like I was saying with Docker, it's been really cool just to see all of the Docker pulls that we've been getting from the development community. We've gotten a lot of great feedback about how this is great for even Mac users who are now able to actually use SQL Server on their Mac via Docker. This opens a lot of doors for a bunch of different types of developers who always wanted to use SQL Server, but it was only available on Windows. So happy to kind of finally get this support going for Linux and for Mac. All right, so for the next part of this talk, we're gonna go into my demo, and I'm gonna show you how to actually introduce continuous integration and continuous deployment for your database using Visual Studio with the SSDT tools that I showed you guys earlier. So I'm gonna hop on over to the Azure portal first. So I'm gonna set the stage for my demo. So right now I have a ASP.NET Core application running in the Azure App Services. And so I have just a very basic website. It just allows me to view the full name, login name, phone number, fax number, and email address for people in my people table within my Wide World Importers database. And I'm logged in as a super user, which means I'm able to see everything in plain text. And so this allows me to actually view everything that I can, you know, as a developer. But, you know, and let me switch over and make sure you guys can see this. All right, cool. So like I was saying before, this is an ASP.NET Core application running in App Services. As you can see here, I'm able to see everything in plain text, which may not necessarily be a good thing. And so as I'm, you know, kind of working on this application, and I want to actually share this application with some of my developers on my team to actually make changes and to actually push my changes into production, I myself want to make sure that my customer's information is not actually shown in plain text to everyone. So one of the things that I'm going to show you guys later on is how to actually add data masking to your database project using SSDT. And so actually the data that is being shown here is actually being hosted in the Azure SQL Database service. So if I jump over to my Azure portal, you can see here I've got an app service running, and that, you know, that's currently running my project, and I also have an Azure SQL database that's hosting my Wide World Importers. So that's everything that I have in production. So what happens if I actually want to develop locally? So like I mentioned before, one of the big pros about Docker is the ability to spin up consistent development and test environments. So I actually have an existing Docker image that one of my coworkers shared with me, so I'm going to be using it for my demo here. So let me just run a Docker PS. So I've got it running right now, and I'm using an image called UnitTestDB, and that was provided by my good friend Eric. Inside this Docker image, I actually have SQL Server running on it, and this is a Linux-based image. And Eric has provided me with a Wide World Importers database that I can use for my test. And so let me switch over to Visual Studio. So as I was mentioning before, one of the big things that people use SSDT for is to actually manage your database changes all within Visual Studio. So I had an existing database project that I just imported into my solution here. So you can see here I have Wide World Importers test. And if I expand that, I can see all of my tables and stored procedures. The table that I'm actually showing information from in my application is the people table. So I'm just gonna open that up real quick. And as I mentioned before, if I wanna share my my Docker image and all the information contained about my customers to, you know, some of the engineers on my team to use for their production environments. I want to make sure that I'm actually masking this data for them. And so, you know, I want to make sure that not only are we masking the phone number, the fax number, and the email address, I actually want to make sure that I'm also masking the logon name. And that's super simple to do, so I'm just actually going to borrow some of my code here. I'm just going to copy this line and actually apply it to my logon name column. Save that. And just because of the way, what happened here? All right, make sure I got that copied. And because of the way that I have things running in SSCT, I also want to make sure that I'm updating my people archive table as well. So I've got the logon name, so I'll apply the data masking here as well. So once I have my database changes, I actually want to build and publish my changes to my local database, which is hosted currently in my Docker container on my computer. So I'm going to actually publish my changes real quick. So you can see here it's doing the validate. And so I have it actually connected to the database running in my Docker container. So you can see here my connection string localhost, and I'm logged in as my super user. So I'm going to hit publish. Let's see what happens. So it's going to publish this new change that I have, which is this new masking on top of the logon name column. So it's executing, and it looks like it was able to complete successfully. So the real test is to actually see if my application is actually able to pick up that I want this logon name column masked. So let's go ahead, we'll run our application locally and see what happens. All right, it's thinking. All right, cool. So as you can see here, I don't want to translate. As you can see here, my logon name is now masked. So really the only thing that I'm now able to see is the full name. So that means that I was able to actually quickly mask a column without doing much work. I just copied over a little piece of code. And I was actually able to see my changes come through on my application. So let's go ahead and stop this locally. So now that I have all my changes done locally, the next thing that I want to do is actually be able to push it to my production environment. And like I mentioned before, that was an Azure web app running in the app services. And so the great thing about Visual Studio is I'm actually able to connect it to VSTS or Visual Studio Team Services. So all my application code is actually stored in a Git repository that I have on VSTS. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to push my changes, which is the additional data masking on the logon name column. So as you can see here, Visual Studio was able to see that I made a bunch of changes on my people and people archive tables. So I'm going to add a commit here. So I'm going to call it data masking. And I'm going to commit and push it. So while we're here, let me switch over to VSTS. So in Visual Studio Team Services, I have an existing project. It's called .NET Conf. So I'm going to open that and show you guys what's in this. Like I mentioned before, the big thing about this demo is to show you how to do CI/CD for your database. So we made a change locally, and now I want to make sure it's being deployed into my production Azure SQL database. So let's go over to builds real quick. And I'll show you an existing build that I have right now. So I have one that's called .NET Conf Database Continuous Integration. And it looks like I have a build in progress right now. So that was the build that I actually just ran. So it triggered a build from my recent commit. And let me just show you guys what's inside this build definition. So I actually used a existing template from the ASP.NET Core template. Just for the sake of time, I didn't want to have to show you everything for the application since we're kind of focusing on the database itself. So, you know, if I were to run this with everything, you can see that I would be able to restore my application, build it, test it, and then publish it. And then eventually publish the artifact, which is the ASP.NET Core project. So the main focus of our talk is around the database. So what I've baked in is two new tasks. So the first task is actually a build of the wide world importers test. And what this is going to do is it's actually just going to actually build the entire database project that I have. And then what it's going to output here is a DACPack file. And a DACPAC file is used as kind of like a diff for a database. So it's basically able to, you can point it to a production database or to a different database, and it's actually able to pick up the diffs between the original database it was built against and the database that you're pointing it to. And this will allow you to, you know, quickly see what changes were made on the database, and then the DACPAC file actually applies those changes to the database that you're pointing it to. And so my build definition, one of the triggers that I've added here, I've added the ability to actually trigger the build based on a successful commit to my master branch, which is where my source code is stored for both my database and for my application. So you can see here it's enabled, which is how it was able to pick up my build, my existing build that's going on right now. So let's go ahead and see if that build finished. So it looks like it succeeded. So let's drill into that real quick, make sure everything looks good. So it was a quick build since I skipped a lot of my application source code. Let's not mind these errors. Cool. As you can see here in my artifacts, what it output was a wide world importers DACPAC file. So that's great. So in this process, I was actually able to build my database and then output this DACPAC file that I'm going to be using to apply it against my Azure SQL database to make sure all my changes get pushed to production. So after I've done all my builds, which is the integration part, I'm going to actually need to deploy my changes. And so now if I move over to the releases tab, I can see that my build, my most recent build, actually triggered a release, and that's kind of going through it right now. But first, let me explain to you what this release definition is. And so in a regular kind of continuous deployment pipeline, what you're going to want to do is, you know, run a bunch of tests to make sure everything looks good. You want to, you know, whether it's for your database or for your application, you want to ensure that, you know, you've tested everything. And so one of the things that I could potentially test for is to make sure that my all the columns that I've actually want the data masking on are actually masked. And so let's dive into this existing release that I have right here. And so as you can see here, one of the artifacts that I'm passing in, and we can click on that, is the actual DACPAC file. So I'm passing in, I'm pointing it directly to the folder where my DACPAC file gets dropped, and that was in the debug folder within my project. And I kind of created kind of a few buckets for things that I'll eventually want to do. So I'm definitely going to want to do unit tests. I'm definitely going to want to do workload tests, integration tests, and then eventually push everything into maybe like a staging or a pre-production environment to make sure everything looks good before I push it into production. So let's drill into this unit test phase. And so in my unit test phase, I've added a new task. And that was super simple to do. It's just like quick, add a task to the phase. And there's a bunch of pre-existing templates that I could use. For the Azure SQL database one, what I actually ended up searching for was DACPAC. But I already have an existing one here, so let's go ahead and take a look at that. And so what this task is going to do within my release process is actually execute the DACPAC that I already had. As you can see, I'm pointing it to a subscription, and I'm pointing it to my Azure SQL database that I have hosted. And so again, it's going to be my wide world importers test application, and I'm pointing it directly to my DACPAC file that I had outputted in my build process. And so coming back to my pipeline, like I mentioned before, I'm probably going to want to make sure I do a few more tests and integration tests. And once I get to the end of this pipeline, I'm going to push it to a pre-production environment. And one of the cool things about VSTS is I'm actually able to have people approve things. So I'll get a notification when my build is kicked off, and I'll get a notification when my build succeeds or fails. Once that's done, it's going to trigger my release. And when it gets to this point in my release pipeline, I'll actually get another email that says, hey, Andrea, can you please take a look at this and let me know if you think it's okay. And so once I get that email, I'm able to review whether it's successes or failures for my tests that I have in these buckets and make sure everything looks good before I proceed with pushing something to stage. All right, and so coming back to my existing release, let me make sure it looks good. All right, so I've got green check marks everywhere, which means I was actually able to release and it passed the test that I had existing. And so this, from then on, I'm able to patch it and to actually continue to release it to my Azure SQL database that I have running in production. All right, let me switch back here. So as you can see back in Visual Studio, within my Solution Explorer, I just kind of wanted to drill in and show you guys just how easy it is to manage your database without having to do much work. And so as I told you guys, I had actually imported an existing database. So all that meant was in my solution, I actually added a new project. And this is like if I wanted to create a new SQL Server database project. So let's just say like for this, I'll just show test. And what this is going to do is just create a new database project called test. And so from there, I can actually hook this up to a, well, let's not do an import, but I can actually add wide world import as again, just to show you guys how I did this earlier. So it's super simple to do to import a database. I can actually create a new connection. So like we mentioned before, I have wide world importers running directly on a Docker container on my computer. So let's connect to that. All right, and then we'll hit start. And this is gonna run through a bunch of different things. So it's gonna actually import the database schema. It's going to import any of the users that I have running on my database. Super quick, and as you can see here, it's filling in all the actual tables over here. I've got a bunch of different tables that I use for this demo, so. This sometimes takes a while depending on how big your database is, so if you'll just bear with me for a moment. Okay, great, so it finished. And so with SSDT, super simple, like I just showed you, I was able to import this database very quickly. And let's say, you know, if I wanted to manage my database, I'm actually able to connect to my server directly from Visual Studio as well. So you can see here I have my SQL Server Object Explorer. I can actually drill down into my databases as kind of a different view. So I have my wide world importers test. And I can actually, you know, add, you know, new users, new logons for my database as well. And this just means this is an alternative to, you know, managing your database via the SQL Server Management Studio or SSMS. And this allows you to actually quickly get started with a bunch of different SQL Server management tools without having to install SSMS on top of that. All right, so as I mentioned before, one of the biggest use cases for SSDT is this whole continuous integration and continuous deployment that I showed you earlier. And so, you know, data masking is probably one of the easiest things to show just because it's quick and easy to do. You know, some of the more complicated things that you can do are to add new rows and new columns. So that's kind of a little bit more advanced, and I can point you to some demos to show you how to do that later. And let's see what else here. So what's great about SSDT is the fact that I was able to actually manage my database side by side with my application. So my application source code is all right here. And you know, it's super simple MVC application. And so I'm just gonna show you guys my database handler. So I didn't wanna use Entity Framework. I just kinda wanted to show you guys a straightforward ASP.NET Core application that just simply connects. And so as you can see here, my current connection string, I'm actually pointing it to my Docker container running locally. And I have a people model that I have everything running for. So basically all it does is just list out the people in my database. And then just connects to the database and then actually shows the table within the ASP.NET Core application. All right, so let's switch back to the database real quick. So I'm just gonna show you guys how to actually create a publish profile for your application. So when I do this, I can actually, let me first build the database. Build succeeded, perfect. And I'm going to publish. And so what this does is it opens a new publish database prompt. And I can actually edit this to point it to the database that I want to publish my changes to. So for our purposes, we're going to point it to the localhost machine that I have with the Wide World Importers database. Click on that. And then I'm going to just double check, okay, my database name is correct. And it's going to generate a SQL file that I'll eventually use. And once I hit publish, or actually let's first save this new profile. And so this is just an easy way to make it easy to, quick and easy to publish. So what that's going to do is actually, as you can see down here in the bottom right side of my screen, is it actually created a new publish profile. So every time I want to publish my database, every time I just quickly click on this, it's going to run through the entire build and publish process for my database. And so while we're on the topic of the CI/CD and everything like that, as simple as it is to do all this stuff for your application, we really wanted to make it easy for you guys to do the CI/CD process for a database. So I'm really hoping that you guys will use this SSDT tools and you'll use VSTS and hook everything up, especially this concept of the DACPAC file and the execute the DACPAC, and point it all directly to your production database. So I'm going to switch over to my my PowerPoint real quick. And so I just kind of wanted to walk you through some of the resources that we have available. So if you guys want to learn more about SSDT, you guys should definitely check out this visualstudio.com SSDT website. Let me show you guys. SSDT, if I didn't mention already, is free. So it's, you know, you don't have to pay anything additional to get it. Like I said, it's an additional workload that you can add to your installation of SSDT. And so if you need Visual Studio, this is definitely an easy place to go and get that. And SSDT is also great because it actually provides IntelliSense for your database. So if, you know, while you're typing out SQL scripts, it'll actually pop up the names of the database tables and stuff for you. So you don't actually have to go and, you know, switch between SMS and then switch back to SSDT to actually know what the names of your tables are. And like I mentioned before, quick and easy to design your tables, view and edit your data, and then you can also do your schema and data comparison with the DACPAC file. And like we mentioned before, the highlight of this is the continuous integration and deployment aspects of it. And so previously we had talked about SQL Server 2017 and how excited our engineering team is about the SQL Server 2017 release. So you guys should definitely check out the SQL Server 2017 website and just keep in touch. We're going to be announcing the full release hopefully soon. And so right now the current version is, we're on RC2, Release Candidate 2, so all of the Docker images that we have available on Docker Hub are most up to date with all of our most recent Release Candidate version. And we also have a really cool website that we've actually just developed, so the short link for that is aka.ms/SQL DevOps, so I'm just going to switch over to that real quick. And so this is going to actually build on some of the concepts that we talked about today, which includes a CI/CD integration of your database into your pipeline. We have a bunch of more really cool demos available to you guys here. So that's Eric, and he's done some really cool talks with Dimitri in the Visual Studio Toolbox. And this has a bunch more resources and blogs that you can definitely look at and learn more about CI/CD for your database. And we especially, you know, love containers. So now that we have Docker available for SQL Server available in Docker, I hope that you guys are able to use that. Try out SQL Server on Linux and let us know what you think. And as always, check out our blog just to keep up to date on where we're at with our releases. We post new blogs every time we have a new release available or any of the changes that we have available for SQL Server. And obviously check out our docs if you guys have any questions. So I've actually linked to our Linux documentation. And so we try to keep the documentation up to date with every release that we have. So any new functionality, we write up the new documentation for that as soon as that release goes out. The docs are also a really great place for how to get started. We have like quick starts available, as you can see here. And like I mentioned, we support Red Hat, SUSE, Ubuntu, and Docker. So all of these things and all of the getting started is available as well. And if you're kind of new to SQL Server and you're new to developing with SQL Server as your database store, we also have another website available, and that is aka.ms/SQL Dev. And this website's really awesome because it actually gives you all of the getting started pointers for all the various programming languages. So we have C#, Java, Node.js, PHP, Python, Ruby, and Go. And Go is our newest language that we've actually added tutorials for. And so this website just kind of walks you through how to get all your prerequisites, whether it's the language prerequisite, and then how to get all of the libraries that you need to hook up your application to your SQL Server. So for .NET, that would be .NET SQL Client. And then it shows you how to actually create a very simple application. So let's dive into one of these real quick. So like I mentioned before, so now Mac developers are actually able to use SQL Server, and they can use that running via Docker. And let's go to step two. This website walks you through how to create simple applications to actually get connected to your database. And so as you can see here, it's all about how to actually get the System Data SQL client into your .NET Core project, how to actually, you know, get connected really quickly. And then we build on some concepts by using Entity Framework. And so we can show you how to actually use the EF Core ORM within .NET Core to actually get connected to your database and actually run some simple workloads. And then our last thing is just kind of a highlight feature, a hero feature of SQL Server 2017, column store indexes. And we show you how to actually increase the performance of your application by, I think, between up to 100 times faster. And so super simple. We try to make this website as easy as possible to copy and paste the code over from the website over into your database project. All right, so let's switch back to our slides. So I hope that you guys are able to check out some more of these resources, take a look at things. You guys can feel free to email me. My email is, I don't think I actually have it on my slides. You guys can feel free to tweet. My Twitter is twitter.com/AndreaJLamb. I'm also available on GitHub. As AJ Lamb, so you guys can feel free to check out some of the projects that I've been working on. One of those is actually that SQL developer website that you guys just saw. And let me just, so you guys have my email. Sorry, I didn't include that in my slides. My email is andrela@microsoft.com or Andrela. Let's see if I can expand this a bit. Nope, Notepad is not a big fan of mine. So like I said, just feel free to reach out, whether it's over email or Twitter. Happy to respond and answer any questions that you guys have. And so I can see here I'm getting a few questions coming in. Let's see. So Arun Raj, I'm sorry if I butcher your name. How will the release to production work for tables with a lot of data? It's the same. Unfortunately, that just takes more time than my simple application here. My database is only a few gigs, so it didn't take that long to actually release it. So for managing larger workloads, it's still the same process. It just takes a little bit longer, and unfortunately that's at the power of or at the will of VSTS to decide how long that takes, just because you can use VSTS as a hosted agent for your CI/CD pipeline. So, I mean, between hosting your own agent on whether it's a virtual machine or something somewhere, you are able to do that, but it just means a longer period of time. Is it possible to use the CI/CD features on an older database engine, SQL Server 2012, etc.? Yes, that is possible. So let me jump back here. Let's see. I'm going to look at my existing wide world importers here. If I double click the properties and you look at the project settings, the target platform here actually goes up to SQL Server 2005. So I can actually change the platform that I want to push my changes to. And that also includes Azure SQL Database V12. Which is what I had my mind pointed to because I was pushing it to Azure SQL Database for production. So yeah, we have support for up to SQL Server 2005, and you can feel free to try some of these out. Let us know if you guys have any issues. You can email me and then check out some of the other resources that I pointed you guys to. All right, so I think that's kind of it on my end. So like I mentioned, feel free to email, check out some of these resources. I hope that you guys were able to find this session useful. Try out SSDT for your database today. It's super simple. Get it, get going, and let us know what you think. All right, thank you.